Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
What's up, everybody? Stephen Bobo here, Bozilla, if you will. Want to thank you guys for coming into Blog Talk Radio. Once again, Danielle, are you there? All right. Test, test, test.
Right here, Bozilla.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anybody in yet?
I've got 256. 512, who's my guest here?
Hit the button, see what it is.
All right, let's try it again.
That's me,
hello.
Christy. Hello?
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Christy.
Hello.
Hey,
hey Christy.
That's my the other extension.
Okay. Anybody else you got in, Danielle?
Nope, got nobody else right now.
Dang, got it. All right. Keep y'all talk. I'm going to try to figure out what's going on.
All right. I got her. You gave her the number to call, for us to listen in. You can listen in,
yeah,
call in. 563-999-3677. Well, so far,
those few people coming in.
Nothing yet.
Nope, nothing yet.
The lady's not on yet either.
I don't have her.
Check.
It's just the three of us right now.
All right.
Just to go into the format right now, we are waiting for our guest to call. The woman that's going to call is going to talk to her son, Nathaniel McKinney. His case is one that is unfortunately heard too often. He's been accused and convicted of a crime that he did not commit, and there is proof that he did not commit it. However, the powers that be are so concerned with having a conviction on the books that they are ignoring plain evidence and have him sitting warehoused in a jail anyway. So we are waiting for her to call so we can all discuss this and the plight of our young men and women who have to seriously look. This is a real problem. It's not something that you just see on television. It's not just something that you see in the movie theaters. This is not made up. But we always say the truth is stranger than fiction. And in this case, this is certainly the truth.
Exactly. I have no clue where the person is. I'm trying to get back a hold of her. But like you just said, Danielle, it is a truth that goes on around the world. Like I said, even myself has been convicted with something like this. It's things that we all need to understand that goes on in this world. The power to be, that's all I can say. I'm not on Facebook, so I can say it. The power to be, that 1%, you know me, the 1% motto, is that if they don't like you, and if you're not that 1%, that means you have the money to fight your case, have the best paying lawyer you can get out if you got the money. But if you're an ordinary person like myself, and you have to scrap and save to make the money, and got to ask people to get the money, and take out loans to get the money, and people want put their houses up for you and stuff like that, they will make you drag out the case so they can suck you dry. And that's what people don't seem to understand. When these type of cases come up, I don't care if it's a sex case or a murder case or whatever it is, if you don't have the money to pay for the best attorney and you also know that you know you're innocent and they can also get themselves signed up and stuff, they will stretch you out until they break you to make you to say you did something that you didn't do. We've all seen that on The Five from New York City. You know, everybody wants to talk about that. That's the main thing right there. And that's a whole nother show. We can talk about that another time. But those are cases like that where you don't have the money and you are in between a rock and a hard place and you know you don't have it, you're going to plead guilty to something to try to get it over quicker. Even though you didn't do it, you didn't understand the case. So train stuff around to make you look like you did it, and that's not what happened. So when the courts do that type of stuff, when you're going against the system, and I mean the system, I'm talking about the systems that people in the United States vote for, you know, everybody worried about Trump and all that stuff, but you know what? It goes further than Trump. It goes back into your commissions, your city commissions, and your state officers, the people in the state that run this country, not the president. We're talking about the Senate and Congress.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes, this is Hello. Keisha.
Hey, Keisha, we're waiting for you. So go ahead and tell your case. Go ahead and tell your story.
Okay. Well, it's my son's story. He was wrongfully convicted of rape and kidnapping. And it was a lot of discrepancies in the case. And basically, this is a case, her word against his word. There were no witnesses. No witnesses came forward. The detective was questioned on the stand about the witnesses. And first of all, when we entered the courtroom, my son's lawyer, what was his name, Willis?
Mm-hmm. James Willis.
He asked the judge for a continuance because he said he hadn't went over the discovery.
And he wasn't prepared.
So he was not prepared for trial. And the judge made him proceed anyway. And also, I'm just finding out through my son, he has the transcript, and he said that is not included in the transcript. So the detective that was on the case, she took over a year to build this case. My son had came into the, to, he she had came in contact with the police about three times, and neither one of those times he was arrested for these accusations that this young lady was saying. It took them a year and about 4 months before he found out. He was told by another detective to get in touch with the detective that was on this particular case. And her name is Diana Trevino. Now, when she took the stand and was questioned about witnesses, she said she had never talked to anyone. She went to one of the main witnesses' house. He would have been one of the main witnesses. She left a card on his door. She said she never spoke to him. And this incident was supposed to take place April 26, 2017, and it was at a party, and they left. She went to get some drinks, and she said my son offered her to take her. Now, there's a lot of different stories because she said on the stand that he offered to take her to the store, but in the discovery, she says that she went to Mr. G's to pick him up along with another female by the name of Summer. They went to Mr. G's to pick him up, and he had a dog with him, and they brought him back to the party, the get-together. Okay, and then so once they was at this party, they supposedly went and got some drinks, and he allegedly took her back to his grandmother's house, which she has no idea where this house is at. She has a phone on her. She's been living in Toledo all her life. She's about approximately 19 years old at this time, and she has no idea where she's at. And the detective did say that they tried to find a house, but they couldn't find a house. They took her. They actually went out, put her in their car, and drove around trying to find this house that it allegedly took place at. So from that, she made a report with this detective. She made a report at the hospital because she eventually went to the hospital, which was the next day, about 20 hours after this so-called rape took place. She went to the hospital, and she spoke with the nurse there, and they did a rape kit. She told the nurse that she did take a shower. She told us on the stand, when she was on the stand at trial, she took a shower before she went to the hospital. So there's a lot of things that was a lot of red flags in this case. And then she said that he took her underwear. And I don't know if that went over everybody's head, but you don't have to wear underwear for DNA. If you've been raped, whatever you put on, then DNA won't be in it, whether it's pants, stockings, shorts, which she did say that she put her clothes back on and she put on shorts and wore those back to the party. And when she got back to this party, most of the people was gone except the man of the house that was giving the party, which he would have been the one that the detective was talking about, where she went out to his house and she put a card on his door. Well, this young lady says that she told him about the incident, that she had just been raped, and she also told the girl Summer as well. And she said Summer was supposed to be my son's date. So anyhow, where we go from there? Okay, so after she went to the hospital and she gave this report, that's when the police officer comes in. The nurse calls in the police officer, had the police officer talk to her, and she talks to him, and she gives another statement. And like I said, these statements, the story just switches up so much details. One of the reports said he was driving the car. Another report says she was driving the car. But the officer, he took the stand. He said she was shaky when he was talking to her, seemed upset. He didn't have too much to say except those words there. And then she also mentioned a gun on the stand for the very first time at trial. And so the officer was asked, did she mention a gun when she gave you her report at the hospital? And he said, no, she never mentioned a gun. The detective was asked too when the detective went to the stand, which the detective, I watched her body language. When that girl said he had a gun, she looked like she wanted to slap her for saying something like that. She shook her head and she looked angry when she took the stand, and she was asked the same question. Did she mention to you in your report Did the suspect have a gun? She said, no, I don't recall. Yes. So the one thing
I want to ask you to tell everybody is tell them about the picture, what you told me. That's the main thing. I want everybody to listen to this.
Okay. So when the case first started, my son had a lawyer other than Mr. Willis. Mr. Willis came on the scene, and that's the one that came to court and told the judge that he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready because Nate had a lawyer prior to him, and we had a very funny feeling about this lawyer. He wasn't acting right. He just seemed like he was working with the defense. He was working with the prosecutor. So we fired him and we got somebody else. Now he asked me to come see him, and when I got there, he asked me about a photo arrest, and he showed me a photo, and he asked me, was it my son? Now I recorded it. Nobody knows that I had my phone on record. And didn't know what I was going to catch. You know, I just didn't have the trust in the system. So I turned on my recording. So this is, I do have proof. He asked me, was that a photo of my son? And I looked at it and let me see. And he said, and I said, no, that's not my son. He said, you know what? He didn't look like him to me either. Now, I don't know where they got this photo from, but I'm going to have to check this out. And
wow.
We know where you are a lawyer. You know where they got the picture from. And he said a number too, which I never noticed it until I started playing it back just recently. He said number five, it's photo number five. And this is who she said done it. So by the time we get to court, they changed the picture to my son's picture. So
wow.
they took what was in the discovery and they changed it so the jury would see his photo instead of the photo that she chose.
Okay. Oh my God.
And then not only that, they said DNA. Look, they sent this DNA. They sent that rape kit to two different laboratories. The first laboratory said there was no DNA, not even a hair follicle. No bodily fluid was found. None. So then they sent it to another laboratory with a 16-page narrative in it. I don't know what it says. They didn't read it in court, but they said it was a 16-page narrative that came with that DNA sample. So they was letting them know heads up what was going on in this case and what they needed to prosecute this person. And so they said they came up with this Y chromosome. And that would explain why they didn't arrest him when he had a traffic stop. And then he had another traffic stop and they didn't arrest him. Then he was in the hospital and a detective came up to the hospital because he had got shot in his knee, and detective came up there to talk to him about the shot in his knee and gave him the detective Diana Trevino's number to call her, and he said he didn't know, you know, what it was about. This, you know, this detective wants you to call, and the detective wanted DNA from him. Okay, so this is probably why they never took him into custody because they didn't have enough evidence. So they building this case the whole time, this year and 4 months, they building it, constantly building it toward him. So this Y chromosome that they get this second laboratory to say that they found is a Y chromosome. Well, what is a Y chromosome? Y chromosome is what determines if you're a male or a female.
Right.
You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot lock somebody up over Y chromosome. You can't put that on that man.
Then that's they'll be locking everybody up. All men should be locked up.
Right. There's so many thousands of men that have the same Y chromosome pattern.
Oh, my God.
What did they say it was?
1,471 in the local population.
Yep. Okay. And that was misleading to the jury. And the jury, they came back. They deliberated. They came back. And the women just wasn't having it. They wasn't buying none of her story. I don't believe they was buying it, even with the underwear. You know, why would you even say something like that? And why would you go home and take a shower? You know you're going to the hospital. You know, why would you do that? Why would you erase the evidence on your body? You know about DNA.
That's the first thing they ask you when you have to do a sex test, a sex test, DNA. Did you take a shower? You cannot take a shower. That is told. Should you watch CSI and they tell you that? CSI on TV, you can tell you that. But that's bull crap. Right. Go ahead, darling.
Okay. I'm telling you. She was acting like she was so dumbfounded. She didn't even know what part of the city she was in. She didn't know, and as small as Toledo is, I got a 17-year-old, I mean, not a 17-year-old, a 7-year-old that can tell you what side of town he's on. He can direct you to his grandmama's house and to his school, and he's way on the other side of town. Then this girl had her phone with her. Why didn't you call for help? Why didn't you call a friend? You could have called a friend and just left the phone on so she could hear. So she'll know to call the police.
But all they had to do was bing it, and they'll tell you where they were at, if she's telling the truth or not.
Right.
They're just
bing the cell towers off.
Yep.
And they just put her in the car and they drive around.
They didn't even bring up nothing about checking her phone or anything like that to see if she was telling the truth about where she was at a certain time. And even the time frame is the time frames is just way off, too.
I got a quick question for you.
That's all you have to do.
Did you have a paid attorney or was it a public pretender?
It was a paid attorney, and he was from Cleveland, Ohio. And we thinking, we can't deal with lawyers here in Toledo because they all in cahoots with the detectives and the judges. So we going to find somebody out of town. So we found somebody out of town, and God behold, he's here all the time. So he has a relationship with the judges here in Toledo, and he was in cahoots with them as well.
The Toledo and Detroit is like right across the border from each other, want to say it like that. But that's the main thing. When you talk about messing with attorneys, and you have to be careful because, like I told you before, if you get a public pretender, and I say public pretender, they're usually right across the hall from the prosecutor's office. So when you're sitting there talking to the prosecutor, you sit there talking to your lawyer, your pretender, the prosecutor's office is right across the hallway, so he's actually going to hear everything you're trying to say. So people need to understand that.
Right.
And what you're saying to me is, it tells me right there that the whole damn thing should be thrown out because there's no justification because the DNA wasn't there. She took a shower.
Right.
So you don't even know. You could have pinged the phone tower to see exactly where she's at. Her story is not holding. As Danielle was always saying, your story is holding no water, nowhere.
They rolled, the detective said they rolled around. Oh, and speaking of this detective, so I call her, right? I call her to question her about, what was he calling her for? To get her,
the statement.
We wanted to get the statement. Her notes, was that what we was calling for?
Yeah, to
see if we can get her notes. And found out, I called downtown and found out that she no longer works in law enforcement. So I asked them, I said, well, and she's been working in law enforcement for 25 years. And I said, well, did she get demoted or promoted? And he said, all I can tell you, ma'am, all I can tell you is that she does not work in law enforcement anymore.
After 25-some years? Did she retire?
And she wasn't that old.
Where was all her notes at? All the notes should still be in the system somewhere. You got to keep the notes.
Well, I put in for what was that?
The notes. Hmm. They put in
transcripts.
Yeah,
I put in for the
notes. All the written reports and the notes from the detective.
And they put you in touch with her supervisor, with the court different place. The supervisor over the department.
Yeah, we talked to her supervisor that took her place.
You know they're going to cover her up. They're going to, it don't matter if she's there or not, they're going to cover her for her. They're going to cover it.
Danielle, what's our time?
Yep.
We have 3 minutes and 30 seconds, sir.
Okay, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So this is going to have to be a part two to this because this is like,
I feel like I'm watching
a TV show. First of all, the young man has been screwed. I can tell you that. It just felt screwed. And like I said, I want to clarify myself. I'm not an attorney. I'm doing this because I know what the system can do to somebody. I'm an ex-corrections officer who was screwed by the system. I thought I was down with the system, but they took care of me too. So what do you think about a young black man? It doesn't matter what color you are, but a young black man who was involved in something like this, and then they're going to screw you like that. So my whole thing is they already put him up against the wall and he didn't get a chance to do nothing. So my advice to people is watch what you do. Pick your surroundings carefully. Pick your people carefully. Make sure if you have people who are going to be on your back like the mother is, you be honest what happens because she needs to know everything because she's the one who's going to end up fighting for you anyway when you think that the lawyer's going
to
fight for you.
Yeah, right, because law enforcement will tell you to keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing.
Right.
Your lawyer will tell you not to talk. Don't say nothing, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and this way the truth can never get out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing,
depression and oppression.
The more and more stuff you hear, cases like this, it makes me so mad because the simple fact is when you do find an attorney that's going to be trying to help you, well, they're going to want to bust your pocket. And see, that's not the way to be. If something's wrong, you need to, that's what you can
I've had offers, and they want a lot of money.
That's right. 90 seconds, man, ma'am. So we're going to have to do this. We'll have to do part two. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. This case right here is something that people need to really listen to and share this. Please share this. I'm going to have Danielle post it. I'm going to have Christy post it. I want everybody who's listening to this thing post it and send it around because this young man needs
help. Share it.
This mother needs help.
The local news was called too, and I'll share with you all what they told me on the next broadcast.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on. Well, that's it. We'll definitely be in contact with you guys. Thank you for calling in. And if we don't talk to you before the Christmas holidays, please be careful out there. Be smart. Do not drink and drive. Be careful.
Be safe.
Watch the police. Watch your loved ones. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Bozilla is out. Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you. Thank you, Poe. I do appreciate you guys. Without you guys, it would not be possible. Much love,
thank
y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for talking.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Problem.
Okay.